Welcome to the Triumphal Feast Podcast, a ministry of Elder Bryce Lowrance, speaking to you from Brentwood Hills Primitive Baptist Church in Fort Worth, Texas.
But what does Luke record about those men that said, we must preach the name Jesus? After they're beaten, well, maybe we should not say this anymore. Did they lose the need? Brethren, they didn't even lose the must. It says they walked away rejoicing that they were found worthy to suffer.
Today's edition of Triumphal Feast concludes the message, I Must. This sermon is based upon the account given in Luke chapter 2, where Jesus is found by Mary and Joseph asking and answering questions among the doctors of the law in his true Father's house. Is it that we're thinking, you know, I really should read my Bible more? Or have we progressed beyond that I need to be reading my Bible right now? Or are we acting like our Savior now? I must read my Bible. You know, when you must do something, does anything get in your way? Doesn't. What about this? You know, I really should ought to be praying for that fella. Or I should have prayed before I did this. Or I know I should pray. Or have we progressed to, I need to pray. That's a good progression right there. Realizing the need to pray, because you're probably going to do it before you act. But what if we progressed into, I must pray. You'll recall in the book of Nehemiah, Nehemiah gets record from his brother, Hanani, that the temple is built, but Jerusalem lies waste. The walls are down, and they're mocked by everybody around. And Nehemiah weeps. And it records a month. And then it records another month in which Nehemiah spoke to the king about that. And it was 4 to 5 months later. And Nehemiah wept and prayed for 4 or 5 months. Then he goes to Artaxerxes and he's speaking to Artaxerxes. And now during this 4 or 5 months of fasting and weeping and praying, he always cleaned himself up when he went back to the court. He was the king's cupbearer. We know that means he was part of the secret service. And if one of your secret service guys looks worried, how are you going to feel? But this particular day, Nehemiah shows his anguish. Nehemiah shows that he has been mourning. And the king asks him. And so he tells him, well, my homeland is lying waste. And the king asks him, what do you ask, Nehemiah? He doesn't say, well, I should pray before I tell you. Or, hang on a second, I need to pray. He prays right there in the presence of the king. Now, that's not like standing in front of the president and praying to God. Earthly kings thought themselves as gods. Nehemiah thought, I must pray. Knowing that while he bowed his head and spoke to the sovereign God, there was a sovereign standing in front of him that could have had his head chopped off right in the middle of that prayer. But he knew, I must pray. We need to get our lives thinking that way. That it's not I need to do this. Certainly not all the way back, I ought to be doing this. Let's progress our lives from that knowing what we should do through it becoming a need. You know, when you need something, that means you have felt the benefits of it before and you now feel lacking in it.
If you don't feel lacking in the reading of your Bible, then you're still on the, I know I ought to do it. But if you feel the need to read your Bible, that means you have felt the benefits of it and your spirit is saying, I want more, I want more, I want more. Same thing in prayer. If we don't feel the need in prayer, then we have not felt the benefits enough and we're still on the, I know I should, I oughta. But what if both of those progress to the idea of I must, meaning there can't be anything in my way, not the fear of death, not what my boss is going to think or what my neighbor's going to think. What about entering into his courts with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise? What about coming to church? Are we in our minds, well, I know I should have, oughta, but this came up. I know I should go to church, but you know, Christ died for me anyway, so it really doesn't matter. Be careful on that one. Be careful if you even think that, because the Lord's not going to be mocked. If he did save you, he saved you to serve him in church. He saved you to serve him here. If we have in our minds, well, I know I should go, but there's this other thing over here that my family likes to do. You know, at one time, Jesus told a fellow he couldn't go bury his father. He's saying, you need to choose right now. Are you going to serve me or are you going to serve the world? He didn't tell him he couldn't go. He was telling him, where are your priorities? Oftentimes we'll say, I need to go to church. That's a good need. It's a good need. That means we've moved from the idea, I know I'm supposed to, but I don't feel so good today. Okay? Here's how we know whether we're caught in the, I know I'm supposed to do something. If we wake up on Sunday morning surprised that we're so tired we can't move, then we're still in the, I know I'm supposed to, but I stayed up till 2 o'clock in the morning on Saturday night doing something else. Or if there is the possibility that, well, I don't feel so good and it's springtime in Texas and I'm not taking my allergy pill, I'm still in the, I know I'm supposed to, but I didn't prepare. Okay? I was putting together, you know, I'm getting older. I have to take medicines now. I hate that. But I was putting together a little thing, the little box. I mean, yeah, I've even got one of those little boxes. I hate that. But I remember to take everything, and I'm getting healthier. And I didn't have enough allergy pills to put one in there for every single day. And so I set the box on top, and I said, if the kids need one of these, then you can come get one out of there, but we need to go get some more so I can fill my boxes. Well, Terry walks into the rest of the bathroom this morning, and I've got it open, and I'm putting them in there. So I don't care if the kids need one of these. If I don't take one, I know I'm going to get sick. I haven't had a migraine from my allergies in the 4 months that I've been taking these. I'm not going backward. Okay? We need to have that kind of idea. If we know there are things that get in the way of our reading the Bible, of our praying, and especially of our coming to church, brethren, we need to make sure those things can't get in our way. And we need to be going into these three things: reading of the Bible, praying, and going to church, so that we feel the need to be there. We feel the need to be there. There was a time in my life where I didn't feel that. Then I thought, oh, I can just go whenever I want to. Then there was a time in my life where I remember, man, I need to be there. I know I've had a hard week, and I know the next week's going to be even harder, and it's going to be a disaster if I don't go. I need to be there. I need to be fed. Many of you know the story of how the Lord brought me back to church with a red wasp. If not, I'll share it some other time. But there was one Sunday
after that, just one, where I chose to not go to church. Now, there were two other times, I think, where I was so physically ill that I could not get out of bed. That's not what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is when you have the ability to control the circumstances of your life and you choose the bad path. I chose to go hunting because I thought I needed to provide for my family. I'd never been hunting before. What kind of fool was I thinking I could provide the needs of my family as bad a shot as I was? I can tell you what, I didn't kill a single thing that Sunday morning. The deer that I eventually did kill was a little bitty. And you know what I found out? I don't like the taste of deer meat. And as soon as I cooked it up in my house, my wife said, "We're not eating that." She grew up on that stuff and she doesn't even like the smell of it. I didn't need that. I needed to be in church. And the Lord thankfully, mercifully showed me that without me shooting myself in the foot or someplace else by accident. It was a merciful lesson to me. Because at that time, I was still thinking, I'm in charge. and I've got to take care of my part and God's going to do His part. You know, by that time, I was already trying to speak to the Lord's people. It's a little bit late to be learning some of these lessons. But you know what? I learn them every single morning. I have to progress every single day. From I know I'm supposed to I need to I must. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. I was thinking I needed to provide for my family. But God tells me if I go to church, if I read my Bible, if I pray to Him, if I devote my life to Him, my family's not going to go hungry. And you know what I have found? That's true. It's true. But what happens when we get to the point of, I must go to church? You know, the apostle says, "Woe unto me if I preach not the gospel." I remember that day in my life. I remember the day when it was if I don't do this, I'm going to explode. If I don't tell people what's on my mind. But you know what? That's not what I'm talking about this morning. That's part of it as well. If a preacher doesn't have that, then he needs to analyze his calling. Because I have that. There's sometimes that I have that urgency to speak when I don't want to say the message, but that urgency is there nonetheless. What I'm talking about, though, is I must be in the house of God. Doesn't matter what role I am playing. I must be in the house of God whenever the doors are open and whenever I can. When something becomes a must in your life, does that mean problems don't pop up? No. It means you handle them differently, though. If you are, let's say for example, if you are in the, I know I'm supposed to go to church every Sunday, and a conflict comes up with work and says, we need you here Sunday morning. And you're in the, I know I'm supposed to. Most likely your response is going to be, okay, this one time will be okay. But is it? This is the Lord's day. It never stopped being 10 commandments, did it? The Sabbath is just on a different day. It's just on Sunday. This is the Lord's day. We are to devote ourselves in worship to Him and rest our bodies. Let's move now, though, into the I need to be there. And the boss says, well, we need you here on Sunday morning. And you're thinking, well, he needs me and I need to be in church. You become more torn and you go into the boss apologetically and say, you know, I hate to do this to you, but I need to go to church. You know, that's not so bad. But that's not must. Here's must.
I must be in church on Sunday. We need you to be here on Sunday morning. Have fun, boss. No, not that rude. No, I must be about my Father's business. Sir, if you want me to work as well as I do every other day of the week, I must be about my Father's business today. Must speaks of the priority of God in your life. If it's not I must read the Bible, or I must pray, or I must be in church, then we've got to work on our priorities, because we're not enough like Jesus yet. So, Brother Bryce, sometimes there's occupations that just take people away on a regular basis. Change occupations. I can understand an emergency. The Bible provides for that, an ox in the ditch. But make sure you didn't shove the ox in the ditch. Okay? That you didn't cause the problem, so it's convenient for you to be gone on Sunday. And honestly, up until a generation ago, there wasn't a field in anything where you couldn't have off on Sunday. It's because Christians didn't have, I must be about my Father's business on their lips. They gave in, and so businesses said, okay, we can start doing stuff on Sundays now. Because Christians had moved back into the, I need it, or, yeah, I know I'm supposed to. Is it possible that you're going to upset somebody when you say, I must be about my Father's business? Yes. Does that matter? Okay, you notice I didn't say, should that matter? Okay, I'm asking you, does it matter what anybody else thinks? It doesn't. In our minds, we may have made it matter, but you know what that means then? We're back into the, I need to be there, but I know I'm going to upset somebody. I'm not telling you to go be rude to somebody on purpose. What I'm telling you is if you're serving the Lord, it's going to be just like Herod when the wise men didn't come back and Herod thought he was mocked of them. They're going to think you're mocking them. When you're not, you're just being about your Father's business. Mary and Joseph's initial reaction was, Jesus, you're not listening to us. You're making us worry. Jesus says, why are you worried? I'm about my Father's business. Now, like I told you, that this is a cycle in my life. And it will be in yours as well. There's never going to be a time this side of glory where you're completely like Christ. But that doesn't mean you shouldn't try to get there. Realizing that there's going to be some ups and downs. Realizing this also, that the devil is not omniscient. What does omniscient mean? All-knowing. The devil's not all-knowing. So how does he know when you're wanting to follow Christ? When you follow him. And that doesn't make the devil happy. So what I'm saying is, as you progress from a I know I should have oughta to I need, you're going to make the devil mad. And he's going to come at you some more. But once you get established in that need, you're not going to care that much about all that stuff coming on you. But once you progress to the I must, the devil's going to come at you both barrels a-blazing. But once you've reached that I must, you can stand before the Sanhedrin just like John and Peter and the other apostles did when they wagging their fingers at him. Didn't we tell you to not preach in this name? And Peter responds, what? It is better to obey God than man. I must preach in this name. And then everything was fine for me. Oh, okay. As long as you say that, that's okay. They beat them. That doesn't mean they gave them a spanking. That means they ripped off their outer garment and they beat them just like they beat their Savior and our Savior. Tore their backs open till they bled. Paul said 3 times he was scourged 39 times. You know why he says 39? Because he was a Roman citizen. They weren't allowed to beat him 40 times, so they beat him 39.
But what does Luke record about those men that said, we must preach the name Jesus? After they're beaten, well, maybe we should not have said this anymore. Did they lose the need? Brethren, they didn't even lose the must. It says they walked away rejoicing that they were found worthy to suffer. Now, if you're like me, that sounds bizarre in my mind. That they rejoiced that they were beaten? No. They looked past the beating and saw what it meant. That was the clearest evidence to them. And Peter will even say that in his gospel. I mean, in his writings. Peter will say that this is an evident token of your salvation and of their perdition. But Peter just makes it plain. This is how I know. Paul said, I want to be acquainted. I want to know the fellowship of his sufferings so they can know the power of his resurrection. When did Paul most know that he was saved? When he suffered for the gospel's sake. Now, in my mind, that's bizarre. You know why? Because I'm not always in the I must do this category. I'm not there. I need to get there. I need to get there each day. There have been times, and I'm not bragging on this, I'm just giving you this as an example from my personal experience. There have been times where I had the I must do this because it's the right thing. And this was small. I didn't get beat or nothing like that. Okay? Wasn't even in danger of losing my job. This was the Lord teaching me how to get to that point of I must. I think it was the second year that I taught in Lake Worth. There was a competition between schools to see who could raise the most money for the United Way. On the surface, that sounded great. It's a charitable organization. Problem is I knew something about United Way. That is, they give a whole lot to Planned Parenthood. They kill babies. And so I wasn't even going to give a dime. My principal called me into her office several times and was mad. And I told her why I'm not going to do it. Now, what I forgot to mention to you is there was this reward that was going to come along with it. And that was, if we were the winning school, that every Friday we'd get to wear jeans. They never see me. I wear jeans all the time anyway. But finally, when it came down to it, the finger waggled at me. She said, well, you're not going to get to wear jeans. And I said, so? Not rudely, I just said, so what? It didn't bother me. Now, was the rest of the faculty mad at me also? But not all of them. Some of them that had given didn't know about United Way. They do now, and they don't give now. Some of them are still in the district with me, and we encourage one another with Scripture every once in a while and greet one another as brother and sister in the hallway. You know what? Had I not been I must on that day, I might not have found those folks. Even if I had been, well, I need to do this, but I can give in this time. To this very day, I would wonder whether the money I gave killed a child. Brethren, there are consequences to everything that we do. So what we need to remember is that you were created on purpose, with a purpose, so live with purpose. Don't just let life happen to you. Have a I must kind of life. That's what Jesus is telling us. The first words we have recorded about him is number one, don't worry. I ain't got past that one yet. I'm just going to be honest with you. Y'all laughed way too loud on that. Y'all know me too well. Yeah, thank you, sister. I worry, but that's the first thing I need to get past so that I must.
so that I can be that devoted. To where it's not a thing. You know what? My principles don't ask me, can you be here on Sunday? When I told them that I was actually going to go to the Lake Worth High School graduation this year in June, they were shocked because it's on Tuesday afternoon. They said, well, how's that going to work? And I said, I'm the pastor. I can preach as long as I want to. Which, by the way, that first Sunday in June, the sermon might be a little bit shorter. Those kids that devoted their lives to me and I devoted my life to them from sixth grade, they're graduating. And there's some godly kids among them. I'll be here, though, because it's not going to get in the way of church. But other times, they don't ask. I don't have to fight that battle because I stood that one time. Actually, you know what? I stood before that. When I interviewed for the job, I told them, look, I'm a pastor of a church. I don't do anything on Sundays, and Wednesday nights are taken too. And sometimes, you know the rule that you have that we can't have cell phones on in our class? I said, I'm telling you right now, don't hire me if you're going to enforce that rule on me, because sometimes I got to go. Sometimes I must go and help out someone in the congregation. These were godly folks. Some of them were. And they honored that. And there was a couple years ago when Sister Jacqueline went into labor early. Paul called me. Actually, he texted me. We're texting back and forth and calling. And it's a rough time for them. And I went to my principal. And I said, this is what's happening. And she said, go. We'll take care of your classes. So I went back and I started talking to my students about what I needed to do. Started cleaning up my desk. Assistant principal comes in. And she says, what are you still doing here? You must go. The Lord will bless you with a must kind of life. Draw nigh unto God and He'll draw nigh unto you. That's what James was talking about. If you devote your kind of thinking to go from I know I'm supposed to get through that I need to I must, brethren, God will not disappoint you. He won't say, no, I was kidding. No. He will be right there with you. I guarantee you this, there'll be more trials. But I guarantee you this, you'll overcome more of them. Notice I didn't say all of them. In this world, ye shall have tribulation. But what's the rest of that? But be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. Jesus didn't say the tribulations are going to go away because I overcame the world. He's saying, be of good cheer. That's temporary. That's temporary. Closing out now. And he said unto them, how is it that ye sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my Father's business? This is a 12-year-old saying, I am the Son of God. You realize that's what he said? I am the Son of God, and I'm here for a purpose, and I need to get to it. No, I must get to it, not I need. And they understood not the saying which he spake unto them. They both understood the miracle of his birth. They both understood the providence of God in delivering him from Herod as a young child. But they didn't understand this. Why he's in the temple this way and what he's doing. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth. Now I need to make sure you understand this. Jesus was not being disrespectful to Mary and Joseph when he stayed at Jerusalem, because he was about his Father's business. And to prove that I know that he was not being disrespectful, he bowed under their authority again and went back with them to Nazareth. He could have stayed in Jerusalem from that point on. He could have been in Jerusalem the entire time. But he lowered himself to be raised by earthly parents. Tells us we need to be subject under the authorities as well. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them. But his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. She told Luke these things because Luke wrote them down for us. And how many times have we read that Mary kept these things in her heart? That she treasured them up. And as her firstborn son is nailed to the cross, all of those things that she didn't understand before, but she treasured up in her heart, she saw. And she understood. And when he was raised from the dead, she could rejoice. And now fully seeing what her son had come to do. Now this last statement here, I'm going to tell you right from the start. I don't know how to explain this. And Jesus increased in wisdom. The and stature part, I know. That means he got older and he got taller. But how can God learn? There are two possibilities. One is that he limited his knowledge when he was born of a woman and regained it from the father over time. He even makes a statement in one place that says about the end times that not even the angels know, only my Father in heaven. That excludes him from knowing it too. But then there's the other possibility. It looked like he got more wise. I think that's what Luke is saying here. He got older physically and they could see it. And his actions, he began speaking more and began saying more. And it increased in wisdom in men's eyes. And in favor with God and man. You know what? Jesus is the eternal Son of God. They're in wonderful fellowship with one another for all eternity. But from man's perspective, Jesus gained more favor with his Father by the way he walked. Do you want more favor with God? Change the way you walk. That's the lesson that we have here in the close of Luke chapter 2, is that if he gained favor with God and man, it says, not everybody's going to be against you. He gained favor with God and man because it wasn't, I'm supposed to be doing what my dad says. And it wasn't because I need to be doing what my dad says. Because you know what? Both of those give the idea that it's supposed to be there, but it's probably not going to be. But as soon as you say, I must, there's no doubt that you're going to do it. Do you want that increased favor with God and among men? Now, I'm not talking about becoming famous. I'm talking about having the joy of fellowship with God in your daily walk. Live the must kind of life. I must be about my Father. You know, you have the same Heavenly Father he does. Live the life of I must be about my Father's business. Victorious God, what can we pay? Every day we should seek to refresh our service to God in thankfulness for his tender mercy and grace. I hope this message has served to move you to live the I must life. Until next time, may the Lord bless you all, is my prayer.